Well, I'm recording these words on Holy Thursday, so we come to the beginning of the Triduum, the most sacred time of year for Christians. And I must say, my mind's been drifting a lot during this time to the issue of pain. It might seem a little bit strange, but maybe it's conditioned in part by a recent conversation I had with Jordan Peterson, the psychologist, who said, you know, in many philosophical and religious traditions, pain is metaphysically basic. And what he meant was, it's like the unavoidable fact of life. Even the most skeptical philosopher, think of a Descartes, you know, you can't really deny pain, that pain exists, that we spend a lot of our lives trying to deal with it and overcome it, but you can't deny it. It's so fundamental. Anyway, I've been thinking about that because, let's face it, the most sacred time of the year, especially, the church puts before our eyes an image of someone at the extreme limit of pain. So I'm talking about now the crucified Jesus. We're meant to contemplate this person at the limit of suffering. Now, let's just think about suffering in its different dimensions. There's physical suffering, and we all experience it. Even, I mean, little kids with cuts and bruises and broken bones and everything. But you make your way through a human life, I mean, everyone experiences physical suffering. I remember the first time I spent a substantial period in a hospital and what that was like, that awful experience. Anyone that's been through surgery, anyone that's listening to me right now that's in chronic pain, and there are a lot of people that just, their bodies are always in sort of constant rebellion against them. Physical suffering just accompanies us throughout life. But that's only one dimension of it, isn't it? In many ways, more acute and more difficult and dangerous is psychological suffering. And again, it begins with little kids. From the beginning of life, we experience, you know, rejection and isolation, humiliation. Even think of a little person who, I have still have vivid memories of being lost as a kid. Probably just for a few moments, but it feels like an eternity when you're a child and where are my parents? Kids that weren't chosen for games. They had that sense of being rejected, you know. Now you move through your life and it becomes, of course, more intense, more acute. I think for me, the greatest psychological suffering I've been through is loneliness. Those times when in my life when I've started in a new city or a new school, maybe most powerfully when I went to Paris for my doctoral studies and, you know, here I was in a new language, new city, didn't know anybody. When you start your day, and you think there's no real prospect of a meaningful human connection for me today. There's something just kind of hellish about that, you know? Anyone that's been through the experience of losing a loved one knows this very particular texture of psychological suffering. When you know, at least in this life, I'm never gonna see that person again who meant so much to me. Or think of the experience of being betrayed, you know, by someone that you thought was a good friend and a supporter, and suddenly they turned on you in a way that just surprised you and left you flummoxed. These are all different types of psychological suffering. But having looked at that, we still haven't looked all the way down to the bottom of the well of suffering, because there's finally what I'd call existential suffering. This is a loss of meaning, a loss of purpose. So some people, they might be physically fine, might even be psychologically balanced, but they're experiencing this loss of meaning, a sense of a wider purpose. Think here of you know, Jean-Paul Sartre and the founder of existentialism. La vie est absurde, you know, life is absurd. That's someone that's experiencing existential suffering and anxiety. Or, you know, Friedrich Nietzsche, whom I often quote, his God is dead. Again, I agree there with Jordan Peterson. That's not an exultant cry. That's a kind of despairing cry. God is dead. I mean, there's no transcendent referent to my life, no ultimate meaning. Now, one more step. So these different dimensions of pain, this sort of metaphysically unavoidable fact. But here's the next step I want to take. There's a tight connection between pain and sin. And the slightest reflection, I think, reveals it. Just think real practically, how do you behave toward other people when you're in a lot of pain? Generally not so good. Much of life is trying to avoid pain, trying to get around it, to prevent it, or when we're in pain, to respond to the one who put me in pain by getting back at him. Often inflicting pain on others is a function of the pain that I'm in, right? And we all know that, whether it's physical pain, psychological pain, existential pain, it tends to give rise to the worst of our behavior. Pain and sin are linked. Okay, now perhaps you're wondering, why is this bishop in Holy Week talking so much to me about suffering and pain and all this? Well, go back to the cross of Jesus, right? The church placing before our eyes at this holiest time of the year, this man in literally excruciating pain, right? So ex cruce, from the cross. Jesus on the cross is at the limit of physical suffering. So think of all the physical suffering of your life. Well, here's someone who is pinned to this instrument of torture that is slowly asphyxiating him and exsanguinating him while he's in excruciating, torturous pain, covered in cuts and bruises, lacerations. I mean, the limit of physical suffering is there. But press it. There's also on that cross terrible psychological suffering. Jesus, who is betrayed by his friends, abandoned by his friends, denied by St. Peter, the chief of his apostles, who's being spat upon by passersby, being mocked and humiliated, the leaders of his society, both religious and political, humiliating him publicly. I mean, it's the limit of psychological pain. But then press it. That utterly mysterious cry of Jesus on the cross, right? God, my God, why have you abandoned me? I say what you want about that. And it's been examined from 100 different angles. But something like existential pain is being manifested there. Some sense of a loss of connection to God. The point is that cross is someone who's at the limit of all these different forms of pain, right? Now, if that's all he were, just a man in intense pain, we'd say, well, there's a great martyr, or there's a poor soul, you know. What's the hinge upon which this whole thing turns? And the reason why the church puts that rather horrific vision before our eyes is that it's not just a man on that cross. It's a man who's also God. It's God who experiences the limit of physical suffering. It's God who experiences the limit of psychological suffering. Even God who experiences the limit of existential suffering. And see, there's the whole point. God has entered into our pain and has thereby wrapped it up in the ever greater divine mercy. God's love, and this is what's revealed, of course, on Easter Sunday, what's revealed in the resurrection, is that God's love, God's mercy, is greater than the totality of human pain. Now, take a last step. Remember the link between pain and sin. Where does sin come from? It comes from our own pain. If God's mercy has wrapped up and conquered pain, in a very real sense, he's wrapped up and conquered sin. That's why we say he became sin on the cross, why sin was dealt with on the cross. Okay, if I could sum this up, I would say, I mean, I'm building on Jordan Peterson, who said pain is metaphysically basic, but I'd say, no, finally, the divine mercy is metaphysically basic. The divine mercy that accompanied our pain all the way down and enveloped it. And in that, we find our redemption.